gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com, the website. By the way, I have a Facebook page, and then I have another Facebook page where I pretend to be someone else that really likes my Facebook page. It's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with house sparks.
Yes.
Oh, God. We were just discussing that maybe we could do the show from my bed on Wednesdays like John and Yoko. And you could, Hal would bring his cameras, HalSparks.com. We're video streaming right now.
Yeah, yep. I'm for it. I can make that happen. I think technologically I am capable of it in Bionic Man style. I can. There'd be a lot of no. Oh.
I am wearing a red. I'm wearing
Thank you. Which is, by the way, the jumping up noise.
Yeah.
When they landed, it would go, meow, which is the weirdest secondary noise. I don't know what that was supposed to be, but okay.
It was, we have one of those brand new synthesizers. We can make a sound.
Right. Yeah. All right, anyway, sorry. Uh-huh. You're wearing red in solidarity.
Our friends in Madison and elsewhere.
Right.
Exactly, I'm wearing communist red in solidarity.
Madison,
woo!
Yes. Madison,
or
Wisconsin.
Madison. Or Wisconsin Badger red.
Can we see the actual wording on your shirt a little bit?
Oh, it's from the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Right.
It's a roller derby shirt.
It says Minnesota on it. It's okay. No, I get
it,
because it's a bordering state, so it makes total
Close
sense
enough.
To me.
Okay.
Minnesota and Wisconsin not known for getting along.
That's true, but I mean, that's because the area between them is not the Madisons of Wisconsin or the,
you or the know, Minneapolis.
The Minneapolis system, right? So it's kind of the wah parts, you know what I mean? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, you can email us all, you know, at the big website. Yes, sir, Hal.
Oh, nothing. I'm okay. I was just watching Morning Joe this morning, and I'm so angry I can barely. Go ahead. I'm just flittering
he
over
was
here.
Flating
Chris Christie all
Chris
morning.
Chris Christie again, as Republicans are wont to do. As you know, in this new era of civility, Hal, I try to say one good thing about Republicans every day, and I always say Chris Christie, really good as Bobby on The Sopranos. Really good.
I
just don't want to have to see that clip one more time.
We have to reach
the retirement age. Oh, there, I said it.
Hey, I'm still standing here. I so want them to play that clip when he's a one-term governor. Because do you mind if I jump into this? Because it's been driving me crazy on the drive all the way over here. Okay, so Chris Christie is on this morning, and they're talking about how he's taken this fight, and you know, we got to deal with these public unions, and this collective bargaining has driven up these the numbers that these people are getting, and they can't have this, and Joe Scarborough is playing like "There Goes My Hero" for him, and gives him a standing ovation when he's there. It's embarrassing. So okay, kids.
Well, there's one. Idea of raising the retirement. Here's another idea. How about tax people or rich people pay their fair share and we get out of these two stupid wars?
Right, and you don't have all these super rich in New York buying two houses in New Jersey because the taxes.
And then grandpa doesn't have to work till he's 107. How about that?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Oh, I said it. I did not vaporize into the carpeting here in the studio.
Here's what he says. So he keeps going, okay, you know, the cops in Camden, for example, in this one town in New Jersey, they make 40% of their money, you know, is paid in, you know, an actual salary. 60% of what they get is in what he said, fringe benefits. He used the words for it. By the way, in a job where you can get shot, healthcare is not a fringe benefit.
Right.
It wouldn't even count even loosely in a normal job, much less one where you have to run into a house full of meth dealers. Yeah. So that's absurd to start with.
I run that risk every day, but it depends on what depends on how many times I get on Glenn Beck's crazy website.
Exactly.
Yes. Right. So here's the thing. The reason.
Oh, and according to my Republican mom, that would be my fault if that happened, because apparently I've gotten too serious and maybe not funny anymore.
Oh wow.
Oh, your mom told
that's
you
fine.
You weren't funny?
Yeah. Glenn Beck has become like my other sibling that she defends now.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, I don't enjoy that, Steffi, when you call them crazy, his fans. I'm like, okay, well, they're crazy.
Okay.
Does she know the names that Glenn Beck calls liberals?
She doesn't hear
any of that. Doesn't factor. He's just being funny.
Oh, okay.
So just to be real clear, when you hear the governor of Wisconsin, the governor of New Jersey, and the governor of Ohio talking about the percentages the teachers get insofar as benefits versus salary, and they keep saying the percentage, the reason they keep saying the percentage is because the actual cash numbers are sad and embarrassing. And if they told you what the cops in that area actually make, if they said, right. Well, you know, cops around here, we pay them $18,000 a year,
yeah.
but their health care costs have gone through the roof, so we pay their health care outlay is $36,000 a year. Everybody would go, wait a minute, most of the cops make, you know, around the area $48,000 a year in actual, which means after taxes,
yeah.
they make about $30,000.
Yeah.
Cops are making $30,000 a year, and the murder rate is crazy in this area.
Yeah.
No wonder.
Well,
but,
I mean,
yeah.
it's the point I keep trying to make is that we're breaking our deal with them.
Right.
I mean, it's like we said back however long ago, how about if we pay you a penny a week, but mm-hmm. if you just hang on, when you retire, we'll make it up to you.
Right.
And now we're like, oh,
they're not going to pay it out. Right.
It's gone now.
It's these state pensions. Well, maybe if you paid a cash outlay for the lifestyle you
yeah.
want in the state in the first place, you wouldn't have a pension weight this direction. You know, that's the insane part.
And here's the insane part is that so they're saying, okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, go ahead and screw us. We get it.
Yeah.
Times are tough. But Governor Walker's going, no, you need to let you know,
future,
never again
yeah.
be able to negotiate such a good deal as getting a penny now so that we can screw you later.
Right.
I don't want you to ever be able to negotiate
right.
for a deal that good again.
Right.
We want to pay you zero, and then you give us money when you retire.
Right.
That's what we like to negotiate.
Absolutely.
Oh. All right. By the way, BJ writes, Steph, little talked about provision in the repair bill in Wisconsin is the authority to sell state-owned power plants without bids to whomever
right.
the governor chooses at a price of his choosing. Koch Industries.
What?
Is already advertising to hire managers for those power plants.
Curious that,
isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of other egregious things in this bill. Ending badger care
right.
for kids. I mean, it's Jim with the, this is the humdinger of the day.
Yes.
Scott Walker is a Coke whore. He's a Coke sucker. He's sucking
oh,
off
sure,
the Coke
right.
brothers'
You're right.
teeth.
Excellent point. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I thought in other categories.
He shall heretofore be known.
That may come up later.
Right.
Who knows?
He shall heretofore be known as well-known Coke whore.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Walker.
Yep.
Wanker. All right.
Wow.
We have a lot. You know, there's just, there's almost too much to get to.
Good Lord. It's so frustrating. They don't.
It's a little different take than Rush Limbaugh. Apparently, his, we'll get to that in Right Wing World, his
mm-hmm.
take is that by definition, unions are militants who mostly beat up black guys, is where his thoughts are.
Oh.
I swear to God, I heard that yesterday. I pulled
yep.
over. I called Chris. I'm like,
can we grab
can you get the thing where unions just beat up black guys in wheelchairs.
Yes. And I said, right away, Ms. Miller.
Mm-hmm. That and some more of his thoughts on
wow.
Michelle Obama's figure.
Yes.
All right. That's kind of a wide target there.
Yeah.
You said, how does he walk into that rake?
Yeah, right. But yes, Rush Limbaugh actually went on the air. Wait a minute. Made fun of someone else's weight. And then,
fashion sense.
Yes, and fashion sense. And then got confused at the blowback he received. He was
Could
shocked.
Does he have any thoughts on the First Lady's weight at all?
Figure?
No?
He
no.
made a joke about it this morning.
Did he?
On Morning Joe. He was talking about, they were, you know, they offer coffee or whatever they, you know, brewed by Starbucks right?
Yeah.
Was he just like, just shoving bear claws in his maw?
No,
like a sperm whale takes in plankton?
Yeah, just swims up under it in a giant amount.
Yeah.
So there's no, the digestive process just, takes 14 years.
He digested the entire table.
Oh,
the
my
entire
God.
Craft services
so
table.
She offers him, like, you know, a coffee or something. He goes, you gotta watch my sugar. We gotta, don't wanna consume too many sweets and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's him making fun of Michelle Obama. That's,
Yeah, because that was a nanny state joke. It looks like he could use a nanny. Just slap a bear claw or two away from his mouth
Lord.
Every now and again. Okay. All right.
He's a large fella.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
As subtle as I tried to make it, Chris, you caught
I
me.
Just, yeah, I,
you caught me.
I did.
Okay. All right. I'm just, can I say, they started it. Okay.
That's right.
I'm just going
yes.
to my 8-year-old place. They started it with the Michelle Obama. Which, by the way, Hal,
yeah.
as the extra crispy bucket of straight guy. She's beautiful,
isn't she?
Absolutely.
Michelle
Obama? Am I crazy?
No.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, it's madness. They're crazy people. This is
all right.
I dare say Laura Bush was fatter.
Huh?
You know, that's I don't.
It's hard to say because Michelle is also a lot taller. She's a tall woman.
Yeah, but
she's got a lot more to hang it
Laura
on.
Laura Bush was wider, a lot wider.
Well, they're from Texas. I think there's a law. No offense to folks in Texas, but you have six of the heaviest cities in the country.
That's true.
And she had more weight control techniques at her disposal. She chain smoked in the Rose Garden while cursing her life. So, you know, it's easier to keep your weight down when you're,
Or while sleeping at the Mayflower Hotel.
All right, let's check in on Madison. Patrick in Madison. Hello, Pat. Good morning.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm from, like I said, Madison, and I've been at the protests every day since they started. And I saw a sign yesterday, probably the funniest sign I've seen so far, that I figured was right up your alley. Mm-hmm. It said, why can't we be friends with benefits?
Well, the ironic part is that's
funny signs all spelled correctly.
Yeah, yep. there was actually a sign that says Tea Party signs spell checked for free. Like, that's the thing is that they've always and you were making just that point. They've always pushed off their direct compensation, saying, "Okay, we understand the state's budget is tight. We will take some of it in the back end, as it were." We had no idea. That they read that totally differently.
You know, Larry Craig was the first one to think
exactly.
of that deal.
Hello. That's not the first. No, he was not the first
waka,
at
waka,
all.
Waka.
He was not the first at all. Anyway, so they...
excuse me?
I didn't know. I had something. So, but in all honesty, when you're sitting at... When collective bargaining has led you to a situation where 60% of your compensation is coming in healthcare payments and education grants and those kind of things for your family because the state... And it's all... And that's, by the way, all like loan guarantees and stuff. That's not money the state has to outlay unless you default. So it's just silly that there's... I'm sorry.
I understand.
It makes
all
me
right.
very angry.
Yeah, well, good.
Grr.
Boy, you were just wound up like a top there.
I am.
There, little feller. Let some steam off.
The nonstop lying. And Joe Scarborough just like cradling Chris Christie's testes.
See, this first segment is like when you're boiling water for pasta. We just move the top over a little bit, let the steam out.
Just so he can.
18 minutes.
He was gently tickling Chris Christie's testes.
Oh, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While smiling and apologizing if it wasn't, if he didn't do it long enough.
And no teeth at all.
You know
all.
What that reminded me of? I actually saw a guy in spinning class yesterday. I saw the steam was rising off of him. I've never seen steam rise. I think you're going a little too fast if you're steam.
That's a problem.
Rising from
that
your...
It might be in L.A. Is cold and they've, and the gym hasn't realized that and leaves the windows open.
I leaned over. I said, I'm afraid you're going to spontaneously combust.
Right.
Could you settle down?
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal. So much to get to as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Retired at an age of friggin' 150. There, I said it. Bada bing. Boom.
He does sound like Andrew Dice Clay.
He does a little bit, doesn't
he?
Yeah. but for the record,
Sopranos crossed with you.
Yeah, Andrew Dice Clay is actually ironically nicer to women and children.
That is true.
Than Chris Christie, because he just insults them, whereas Chris Christie ruins their future.
No, you're absolutely right, Hal. I love how they fawn in the mainstream media over whatever is considered like refreshing honesty in politics. Like they put forth really horrible policy ideas, and they go, "Oh, isn't that refreshingly honest?"
Well, here's the thing: when somebody is stupid enough to say something that is actually violently horrible, it keeps a reporter from having to do any reporting by going, he's saying nice things, but I looked it up, and he's actually saying things that are violently horrible. Well, now as a reporter, I don't have to bother doing that. If you're saying it outright, I get away,
That's what they're saying. Coke whore Scott Walker, he's going to be a conservative hero is what they're saying. It's just what? Boom! Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking. We take away health care from kids and workers' rights to ever negotiate. Oh, I said it.
Hey.
Hey.
Hickory dickory dock.
Right.
It's like, oh,
the unions were.
Well, great. That's refreshing. Yeah, here is Governor Winker.
Our bill is about protecting the hardworking taxpayer.
Oh, you're just trying to help.
Oh.
I see.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what would happen if public and private employees in the state could actually try to get a safe working environment or actually get paid a living wage or try to drive their way? I mean, how do you create a fiefdom? How do you create a tiny little Mexico in New Jersey if you have collective bargaining rights and the right to
that? Exactly. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Hal, I wanted to throw my TV. If I didn't pay so much for my TV, I would have thrown it out the window this morning.
It was amazing.
Did you see when he said, when Mika told him that you lost 5,000 jobs, and then he was like, oh, you got to look at where we created jobs. So basically they said that he created, on the show, he created 14,000 private sector jobs.
Right.
But he lost 20,000 public sector jobs.
Right. Really, you're right. It's a shell game, Brian. It's like, don't look over here, look over there.
It's crazy. All he did was take the taxes that he should have been charging to the private sector and didn't tax them and took away the public sector jobs and gave them all the taxes.
Nobody,
it doesn't make any sense.
Totally. Did you watch when Kramer was on there? You know, Kramer, who manipulated the markets for his own gain, but still has a TV show where he talks about stocks.
Yeah.
He's talking and he goes, I live in New Jersey myself, and right now my property taxes are higher than my interest payment on my house for the year. Okay, he goes, I refinance. I'm like, that's because you're not paying anything on your interest payments. That's not because taxes are that high there. That's because you actually refinance and you pay next to nothing.
Yeah.
Because you have friends in the banking industry. You just told everybody you have a 2% loan, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. All right, buddy in Columbus, you know, it's happening in Ohio and all over the place. Yep. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Mama, I'm going to try to keep it together.
It's hard.
No, honestly, I am so angry and disgusted at what I saw yesterday.
No, buddy, people calling in, I can't tell if they're masturbating or just angry, but it really, I understand. People are trying to hold it together.
No, honest to God, I went down to our state house, and there was like a thing like Wisconsin. There was going to be a protest there.
Yep.
They had SWAT there. They had snipers on the roof. They had cops in horses, on horseback. They had Columbus police. They locked the doors to the state house so people couldn't get in. Then 700 people. There were like 15,000 people showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what we've done that's so bad that we have to be treated like prisoners that have to be managed.
Right.
Well, because according to Rush, it's all the black people in wheelchairs that you tend to beat up. That's why.
Right.
Honestly, John Kasich left town, went to Canton, turned over control of the Capitol to his director of security, and shut it down. And if you give me 30 seconds...
We're out of time, honey, but I appreciate the call. Yeah, we should, you know, keep that in mind. It is for spreading all over the country. Protests, they swelled from a few hundred to 4,000 on Thursday in Ohio. So keeping our eye on it all over the place. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is an anarchist, a sociopath, a lunatic, and for the love of God, boobs.
Solid cup, perky bounce.
Momentary grudging respect.
34 minutes after the hour, we are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Video streaming at halsparks.com.
This is so true.
We were saying, because you're a very high-tech, interwebby kind of type of fella.
Yep.
This story, unbelievable. That's Mubarak territory. They shut down a website in Madison yesterday.
That's right.
A left-leaning website that union supporters used to rally protesters in Wisconsin was partially blocked as demonstrators gathered in the state capitol over the budget bill. The website, defendwisconsin.org, cannot be accessed on Monday and into Tuesday morning in the Capitol building. Governor, they obviously blaming Governor Walker and the Republicans for causing the outage. Mm-hmm. In a direct assault on the First Amendment, Scott Walker's administration is blocking access in the Wisconsin Capitol to opposition websites. According to one bystander there, a governor's spokesman, of course, called the accusation a lie. Wait for it. Are you ready for the excuse?
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Administration blocks all new websites shortly after they're created until they go through a software approval program that unblocks them. See, if there's a light broken on them, they have to take it up to the governor's shop, and then they fix it up there, and then they bring it back.
My sweet little tot.
That's what happened.
Fake Santa Claus lied.
Mm-hmm.
There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
Interesting.
So I'm taking it home to my workshop, my dear.
Up to the Wenker workshop.
I'll fix it up there.
Yes.
Then I'll bring it back here.
And then I will bring the internet access right back.
So
The Capitol Internet Service, which restricts access to certain websites considered inappropriate for lawmakers, revealed a blocked page when users try to access the site using the building's wireless system. Users were able to access the site elsewhere.
Hey, anybody in Madison want to try and load a porn site on their smartphone using the guest server there? Because I'm guessing it'll get through.
Yep.
That's the what are their 40 trillion websites on the internet, and we're supposed to believe that the Wisconsin state government is, by the way, maybe the reason they're broke and can't afford to pay teachers is because of their army of internet censors. Maybe that's it.
Chris, how many emails have we gotten from people that were blocked?
Yep.
And Rush and other, interestingly,
left-wing
radio shows aren't blocked in certain,
That happens in the military, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Left-wing websites are blocked, but you can totally get on Fox News and Rush Limbaugh.
Rush.com,
Same with cable systems all over the country. And you go, like, I'm in umpteen hotels, even when I'm not touring. And
slut. He's a slut.
Look at him.
So,
manhole.
You'll find that, like, MSNBC will be listed, but will not actually come on.
Yep. You know, that's why we're almost like an underground resistance, aren't we?
We
Progressive
are.
Radio.
For instance, speaking French.
Paul in Columbus writes, Columbus, where they're protesting, where we used to be a spectacularly successful show until they got rid of the Progressive station there for some odd reason.
Hmm.
And the station they replaced us with got beaten by a station in Cincinnati.
Yes.
That's hard to do.
They replaced us with a right-wing lineup, Hal, that actually gets you can't even say what rating it is because it doesn't have a rating.
It doesn't matter. Propaganda doesn't have to turn to profit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at Glenn Beck.
Paul in Columbus, it's the C because we're better at technology. New BlackBerry plus Stitcher equals Stephanie Miller anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mama, I've been a yearly Bing subscriber to the podcast, only $4.95 a month, if you buy a year in advance.
That's right, Naomi, which I recommend.
Which, by the way, we do great selling that. Why, Chris? Because you can't get us anywhere.
Exactly.
Right.
So everybody calls their friends and relatives. And they're like, we don't get that here. Mm-hmm. So they buy the podcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Right.
And it's a great value for the money. Got a new BlackBerry today, and the first app I installed, Stitcher, so I can have Mama wherever I go. Thank you, Paul.
Stitcher is a wonderful app.
We're not letting the man keep us down because we've got the technology.
Not only can you get the Stephanie Miller Show, but you can get all kinds of other...
I have to take a picture of CNN right now.
Yes.
Okay.
Why?
Because
Gaddafi's wearing different hat.
They're talking about Gaddafi. Okay.
Yes.
This is a man who just ordered mercenaries to shoot his people.
Yes.
Okay. And the CNN newsroom headline says, What's Gaddafi really like? An inside
who cares?
Look at the quirky dictator.
Quirky.
Quirky? He's insane.
Yeah.
He's insane, and he's hiring mercenaries to kill. What is wrong with you?
It's like wearing two condoms. You don't need to have an umbrella and a hat and be in a car when it's raining.
Shafe on the live blog yesterday that said that Gaddafi looks like a boy band member who hasn't aged well.
Well, listen, I have a whole nother story.
What?
About
what Gaddafi's really like? An inside look at the quirky dictator coming up on CNN. What are you doing?
All right. So speaking of all the high-tech stuff, Chris, I saved this for our high-tech wizard, our interwebby new technology gadget boy.
Yummy.
Hal Sparks. It's one of those...
I'm from the future.
Exactly. It's one of those crankety, crotchety old person screens they send around on the interwebs that I thought was hilarious.
Oh, of course, because you're a crotchety old person.
Yes! John sent this to me. When I was a kid, adults used to bore me to tears with their tedious diatribes of how hard things were. And now that I'm over the ripe old age of 40, I can't help but look around and notice the youth of today. You kids today, you don't know how good you've got it. See, we never thought we'd be those people.
You are those people.
Yes. So are you.
What do you mean?
What is he complaining about? What's the actual complaint?
Actually, he's over 36.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Number one, I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't have the internet. If you wanted to know something, we had to go down to the damn library and look it up ourselves in the card catalog.
Or
you had to know Dewey Decimal, for God's sake.
Or you had to look it up in the 10-year-old encyclopedia that your parents bought when you were born.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yeah.
Oh, it was awful. Number two, there was no email. We had to actually write somebody a letter with a pen. Then you had to walk all the way across the street and put it in the mailbox. It would take a week to get there. Number three, Child Protective Services didn't care if our parents beat us. As a matter of fact, the parents of all my friends had permission to kick our ass. Nowhere was safe. Number four, there were no MP3s or Napsters or iTunes. If you wanted to steal music, you had to hitchhike to the record store and shoplift it yourself. Number five, or you had to wait around all day to tape it off the radio, and the DJ would usually talk over the beginning and it all up. That's true, that was me. I was talking up the post.
I know, right.
The post, baby.
Roll it in, here we go, the new hit from Def Leppard. It's good, and I'm going to talk right up to the first line of the first word. Here we
Boom!
Go.
Boom! Son of a... There were no CD players. We had tape decks in our car. We'd play our favorite tape and eject it when it finished, and then the tape would come undone, rendering it useless.
Yeah.
Because that's
yeah.
the way we rolled.
Mm-hmm. Or it would melt inside. The, like,
yes.
As
yeah.
I drove from LA, from Chicago to LA. Yeah. And I literally, I had a tape. I'd played so much. I went in to eat, came out, and it had melted into the...
Oh, no.
It took me an hour and a half to get a borrow a screwdriver from the restaurant so that I could get the tape out. So it would be musicless all the way to...
Risking LA. Lethal electric shock while doing that.
Care.
It wasn't like a toaster. It's a tape deck. I'd be okay. Magnetization was my only danger.
This fog hat tape.
Right. Fog hat? How old do you think I am?
I don't know. We didn't. Number six.
It was a White Lion tape.
Number six. We didn't have fancy crap like call waiting. If you were on the phone and somebody else called, they got a busy signal. That's it. Number seven. There weren't any freaking cell phones either. If you left the house, you just didn't make a damn call or receive one.
Yeah.
You actually had to be out of touch with your friends. Oh, my God. Think of the horror not being in touch with someone 24/7. And then there's texting. Oh, right. Please, you kids have no idea how annoying you are. Number eight. We didn't have fancy caller ID either. When the phone rang, you had no idea who it was. It could be your school, your parents, your boss, your bookie, your drug dealer, the collection agent. You just didn't know. You had to pick it up and take your chances, mister. Number nine.
Phone roulette.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's why it had a dial on it. It was like a little roulette wheel. Not him.
Oh, boy. Number nine, we didn't have any fancy PlayStation or Xbox video games with high-resolution 3D graphics. We had Atari 2600.
Yep.
With games like Space Invaders and Asteroids.
With one button and one joystick.
Your screen guy was a little square. You actually had to use your imagination, and there were no multiple levels or screens. It was just one screen. Forever. And you could never win. The game just kept getting harder and harder and faster until you died.
Right.
Just like life.
Yeah.
Number 10, you had to use a little book called a TV guide to find out what was on. You were screwed when it came to channel surfing. You'd have to get up your ass and walk over to the TV to change the channel. No remotes. Number 11, there was no Cartoon Network. You could only get cartoons on Saturday morning. Do you hear what I'm saying? We had to wake all week for cartoons, you spoiled little rat bastards. Number 12, we didn't have microwaves. If we wanted to heat something up, we had to use the stove. Imagine that. Number 13, our parents told us to stay outside and play all day long. And no electronics to soothe and comfort. If you came back inside, you were doing chores. Yeah, they didn't. Parents not so concerned about safety. Just go out. I don't care where you are, and I you don't have a cell phone. I don't care. Just go and
right.
don't come back. And I don't care where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, we didn't like helmets.
No, God, no.
Wait, we're getting to that. This is our favorite. Yeah. Car seats. Oh, please. Mom threw you in the back seat and you hung on. If you were lucky.
I fell out of a moving car when I was 4 years old. My dad turned a corner and I'd been fiddling with the door handle. These, you know, before child.
Yeah.
And I literally, he just turned the corner and the door.
You're
just,
like thump.
The door
that?
Just gracefully opened and I rolled out of the car into a puddle. And my dad, like, went, Jesus, and pulled the car over and walked back and I was just sitting wet in a puddle. Having fallen out of
cute
a moving car.
Hal.
Right.
That must have been so cute.
It looked like a cartoon.
If you were lucky, you got the safety arm across the chest at the last moment. If she had to stop suddenly, and if your head hit the dashboard, that was your fault for calling shotgun in the first
place. And the arm always had a cigarette.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it would actually be worse than if you would, you'd get a cigarette in the eye. But... Okay, you kids have it today. Have it too easy. You're spoiled rotten. You guys wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes back in 1970 or any time before. Regards, the over 40 crowd. We're crotchety. That's us.
I was earlier this week. I twittered, you know, I can't wait till I'm old so I can say things to kids like, I remember when there was a time when you couldn't get lettuce wraps at most restaurants. I distinctly remember a time when the idea of a lettuce wrap was just kind of absurd.
Yeah.
And now they're pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
even at Applebee's.
Yeah, exactly. And talk about Applebee's has lettuce wraps. Yeah.
And talk about no nanny stay. Not only did you get the cigarette arm in the car, but they'd smoke in the car with the windows up, while your mom is spraying Aquanet on her hair to finish getting ready. How you kids doing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And interestingly enough,
you would pray to fall out into a puddle.
Social Security was never in danger of going broke back then, because we all knew we were going to die before 65.
Because our parents would likely kill us with fumes,
right?
Just
made sure that we culled a certain element of the herd through bad behavior.
Yeah. I remember sitting in the sunroom with my dad who smoked, and it always looked like Apocalypse Now. You really could barely see each other. It was just
right. You expected helicopters to suddenly swoop
in. Dad comes in like Kurtz, standing in a doorway with just smoke and backlit. Right.
I need to get out. I can't breathe.
Horror.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, we have some breaking news out of Madison. Scott is a reporter in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Scott. Hello, Scott. Oh, did I do the wrong one? No, I didn't. Hi, Scott. Oh, for the love of God, where is
him?
Scott, for God's sakes. All right. He apparently, we'll see, you know, we'll hear more if this develops, but he was saying the governor's been caught on tape saying he's going to insert troublemakers into the crowd.
Yeah.
Gee, so it looks like he might need to bring in the National Guard or something.
Yeah.
Can I say so far, what was the other thing you were saying? So now he's warning of layoffs, of course. I'm not going to want to do it, but I'm going to have to start firing people if, He warned state employees could start receiving layoff notices as early as next week if the budget bill isn't passed. He didn't say which workers would be targeted. I don't know why I'm going to guess it's people that didn't vote for him from those unions.
Yeah.
He was repeatedly warned that up to 1,500 workers could lose their jobs by July if his proposal isn't passed. He's a bully, this guy. It could take weeks or even months to lay off workers, ironically, Hal, under the terms of their current union contracts. You see, because they have some protections in there that mean, isn't that weird? And then the other thing you guys were talking about is so the Republicans are starting to meet without the Democrats. And so far they've passed, you know, non-controversial stuff, commending the Packers and whatever. But now they're threatening to take up this controversial voter ID thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're able, I guess, to go forward with anything that's non-fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other trick, what was this trick? This was a little Wile E. Coyote. That they're not going to get direct deposit, so that you'll have to come pick up your paychecks.
Right. No, that's all right. My
wife
can do that.
You'll have to go through the movable hole in the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It's right behind the exploding birdseed. Oh, now you have to vote on the budget bill.
Just strap on the rocket skates.
And come in and get your paycheck. Let's go to Eric in Madison. Hi, Eric. Welcome.
Hi there, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
I love your show. I got some wonderful news for you from Madison. One of the wonderful radio stations in Madison officially dumped Glenn Beck.
Really now? Really now?
Yep. So you know what that means.
Well, you know, I understand that
Stephanie Miller
and the Mike 92.1 FM is the number one talk station in Madison.
The station that dumped Glenn Beck was WTDY AM 1670.
Ah, yes, too bad for him. That's a shame.
But we like the mic.
That's word.
The mic is a much better station.
I keep hearing that I keep hearing that liberal radio doesn't work. That's so curious, that. Oh, Scott is back with the breaking. Here we go. Scott in Madison. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, your friend, my friend.
Yes,
I
hello.
I do not hang up on you, Stephanie.
All right.
I would never hang up on you.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, we do have some breaking news out of Madison this morning. As your favorite reporter here in Madison, I can tell you that we have a tape out there of Scott Walker being crank called by a blogger and actually got him to admit that he was inserting some rabble-rousers into the protesters. And the blogger did it by posing as David Koch.
Oh, really?
No way.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, my God. He's as dumb as Sarah Palin, who took a call from who was that? Who did the blogger say he was?
Oh, the president of France or something.
Oh,
like
the president of France is on the phone.
Yeah,
hello.
Apparently, Governor Walker actually fell for the oldest radio trick in the book.
No way.
He admitted that the State House GOPers would be holding on to Democratic senators' pay until they returned to vote. They're looking to nail the Democrats on some ethics violations. And then he said he would take up Koch on his offer. And David Koch said, or the blogger posing as David Koch said, once you crush these bastards, I'll fly you out to Cali and really show you a good time. And it's definitely Governor Walker.
Scott, now wait a minute. Where is this tape? Who's heard this?
It's on Mother Jones. You can go to Mother Jones right now, motherjones.com, and look it up.
Okay.
It's on the front page.
Okay, so we'd be able to play it ostensibly.
It's there. It's there. It's on YouTube.
Is he really that dumb? Seriously, you can just call him and say it's on David Koch?
He's a smart man, guys. Stephanie, I mean, the man was county executive in Milwaukee.
Wow.
And he used whack-and-hut guards to replace the county employees who were doing protection at the courthouse. And this is the same company.
And drink vodka shots out of other men's butts.
Well, I mean, he's just not a smart guy. He screwed up Milwaukee, and now he's trying to screw up.
That is so Landshark, Scott. Thank you for that, honey. I appreciate it. Wow-wee. Who's there? It's Mr. Dr. Flarfensmargen.
That's amazing.
Governor Walker, are you there? It's
well, again,
Mr. Flarkin.
Walker, Chris
David,
Christie.
David Koch. It's David Koch. Hello.
Kasich in Ohio. These guys are temp employees. They're like temps who have no interest in the company, coming in for a little while, running off with office supplies. They're basically just stealing from where they are, and they're going to... They're going to a cushy corporate job after they leave, and they don't care what damage they do to the state. And if you have to live there after this guy leaves office, you're just going to be stuck digging yourself out of this hole for the next...
Who is it? It's Dr. Flarhargen. Where's my Dr. Hafar? I keep trying to ask her that. I'm sorry.
Dr.
Who is
Hafar?
It?
Hafar.
Oh, man. I got to find this.
H-F-U-H-U-R-R.
Dr. Flarfin.
Dr. Furrier.
No.
Okay. Susan.
And Melmahe.
Susan in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Susan.
Yes, you know, let's join this lawsuit. Let's join.
Hello?
Excuse me?
Hello?
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 I'm finally on the air. You have Stephen King to thank for the fact that I can hear you in Maine.
I know. Stephen King owns a station in Maine.
That's right.
You know what, Susan? We've been talking more and more about this openly, and there's a lot of this going on behind the scenes now. But progressives, I think, are starting to get it now. It's becoming a tipping point that they better invest in progressive infrastructure because you can't, you know, the fairness doctrine is not coming back. You can't count on, you look at the attack that progressives are under in many fronts, whether it's radio and labor unions. They are. This is all about a permanent Republican majority. Suze, you're absolutely right.
But I haven't heard you talking about our governor or our state legislature at all. They were all Democratic and now they're Republican.
Right.
And our governor puts his foot in his mouth every time he opens it, only to change feet. So you could get lots of laughs out of him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I know.
Just talked to my Republican state senator today who co-sponsored a bill to legalize fireworks, and he had never thought that anybody might be injured and the public might have to pay for the injuries to be taken care of or
emergency rooms
for blind children.
Right.
Yeah, unbelievable. Suze, thank you for that. And thank you, Stephen King.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Chris is furiously looking for the audio of the prank call to Governor Wanker, the well-known Koch
Walker.
Koch. What?
Walker.
58
Wankers
minutes.
In
Boy,
New Jersey.
He's David Koch's hollaback girl. Hello! Did he break a leg getting to the phone? David, is it you?
Okay.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal continues. Video streaming at HalSparks.com. You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Let's see. Oh, I didn't see this story. Stephanie Miller has a television broadcast while holding umbrella. I don't remember this, Chris. I might have been drunk. In a strange and rambling TV broadcast, Stephanie Miller, age 67, held an umbrella as she spoke about staying on as host of the nationally syndicated radio show listened to by over 453 people daily. Miller spoke that people should not believe the lying dogs behind the MOOC rebellion and that people who work for her really do love her and they'd be leaderless without her. As Miller spoke, a crowd of people chanted, "Rebecca! Rebecca!" MOOC's Jim Ward and Chris LaVoy have formed a new partnership, are shopping around for studio space from which to broadcast and stream over the internet a new comedy and political show, Mornings with Becca. Okay, I you know what? Thank God I was drunk. And wearing my umbrella hat. I don't remember that. Jim, I have a guess the quote for you. Who said, "When the Nazis came for the communists, I remained silent. I was not a communist." Who said that?
Reinhold Niebuhr.
No.
Oh, wait, I guess right for it.
Oh, I guess that is right. Pastor Martin.
Oh, that was not right. Niemüller. Nazi Niemüller.
Exactly. "When they came for the trade unionists, I did not speak out. I was not a trade unionist." Who said that?
Dan Savage.
No, the same guy, Pastor.
Though that is true.
Who said, "When they came for the Jews, I remained silent because I wasn't a Jew. When they came for me, there was no one left to speak out."
Glenn Beck.
Michael Savage.
No, the same pastor guy. It's the famous poem.
Yes.
All right.
It's not a poem.
All right, Chris is furiously searching this. It's 20 minutes, Chris, the tape on Mother Jones that apparently, and it's not been authenticated yet. I guess this just, you know, this was just posted that a blogger prank called Governor Walker pretending to be David Koch.
That's brilliant.
And
let me just say.
Oh, it's the president of France.
I'm like, wow, he's,
you don't recognize he's my too dumb to be governor. Accent.
Yeah, exactly. By the by, some more bad news for Governor Wanker, well-known Koch whore. Union supporters in Wisconsin pointing to a new poll, they say, shows support for Governor Walker is straining under the weight of the thousands of protesters gathered around the state capitol. The poll of Wisconsin voters shows public feelings toward the union supporters versus a Republican governor are vastly different. 62% of response to the poll said they view the public employees favorably. Just 11% said they had an unfavorable view of the workers. Whose benefit packages Walker is says are breaking the state budget. Meanwhile, 39% favorable view of Walker, 49% unfavorable view. And they haven't even heard this call yet.
Yeah, right.
Chris, it sounds authentic, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like him.
Do you have any part you want to play, or no? You're still listening?
It's pretty long.
It's long. It's like 20 minutes, but it's...
So this is about the budget. This is about public sector unions. Hell, even FDR got it. There's no place for the kind of, you essentially are having taxpayers' money be used to pay to lobby for spending more taxpayers' money. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Beautiful.
So it's this is ground zero. There's no doubt about it. But I think, you know, for us, I just keep telling I tell the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader every night, give me a list of people I need to call at home, shore them up. The New York Times, of all things, I don't normally tell people to read the New York Times, but the front page of the New York Times has got a great story. One of these unbelievable moments of true journalism, what is supposed to be objective journalism. They got out of the Capitol and went down one county south from the Capitol to Janesville, to Rock County. That's where the General Motors plant once was.
Right, right.
They moved out 2 years ago. The lead on this story is about a guy who was laid off 2 years ago. He's been laid off twice by a GM who points out that everybody else in his town has had to sacrifice except for all these public employees. And it's about damn time they do it.
We just were playing a random part. That's not the good part.
And either way.
He actually, the David Koch impersonator actually uses the word hobo. Governor Walker doesn't. Mm-hmm. Are we dressing people up like hobos or...
We just put hobos in suits and run them down there.
Hobos in suits and run them down there. Governor Walker just like goes right over his head. all right. Governor Walker talking about the missing Democratic senators. They've said they will not come back until Walker is willing to negotiate.
The missing Senate Democrats must know that their failure to come to work will lead to dire consequences very soon. Failure to act on this budget repair bill means at least 1,500 state employees will be laid off before the end of June.
Threaty McThreaderson there.
Yeah, like blackmail.
And there was another part of this tape where he's discussing this with the fake David Koch, the Acme plan to have them have to come pick up their paychecks. Get on your Acme rocket skates. It's right next to the Acme burn seat. public employees, just so you know, have said they would agree to the concessions Walker wants that would amount to an 8% pay cut on average, but they want to retain their collective bargaining rights. One Republican senator even floated that alternative, right, that said that would make the elimination of those rights temporary. Walker has repeatedly rejected both offers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is just becoming clearer and clearer what this is about.
Yep. Christie.
Nobody's budging right now. Walker says he won't negotiate. The 14 missing Senate Democrats say they won't return until he does. One of them said, we'd love to come back today. We could be up there this afternoon and pass this if he would agree to removing the language that has absolutely nothing to do with balancing the budget.
Yep, because it's an ideological fight on his part. And Chris Christie, by the way, was sort of making this case where teachers, he goes, last year I tried to get them to take 1% drop in their salary and put that towards their compensatory packages, 1% shift. And he goes, they wouldn't even come to the table. They wouldn't even negotiate. That's because on average they make $17,000 a year.
Yeah.
They're already operating below the national poverty level, dork.
Yeah.
They
should be making $9,000 a year. Oh, there,
and
I said it.
They're supposed to trust you with their pension?
Yeah.
They're supposed to trust you that they're going to make that 1% back?
No,
that you're not just going to spend it giving tax breaks to rich companies that don't even live in the state?
No, I know. Right. Somebody's salaries, I've read, I'm like, what? How does an adult live on that? With kids, with a family,
don't.
I mean, it's
you should be able to make doing $100 a year.
Yeah.
It's easy. Come on.
Yeah.
Hey,
Governor Walker,
you teach because you love it.
Tough it up.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allow their voices to overwhelm the voices of the millions of taxpayers from all across this state.
Yes. And then this is where he's in that patronizing. Oh, now just have you yelled yourself out now?
For those 14 Senate Democrats, you've had your time. Now it's time to come home.
Patronizing.
You had
bastage.
Your time. No, actually, we're using your time right now, actually, one termer.
Mary in Long Island. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
There's an old saying about the government they deserve, right?
Okay, yeah.
This is a message for voters, okay? This is what you sow what you reap. You reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I don't understand. Maybe they're just not, voters are not informed, but they should be before they cast their vote. Look behind the lines. Look behind the scenes. Republicans are always this way. They really, really are. All right, true, they're showing their true colors now more than ever because they have so much power. But the voters have their votes. They need to pay attention for the next election.
Yeah.
Maybe they can do a recall. I don't know. But
and that's why, this is what they're trying to do. You know, you got the governor threatening layoffs, and then, they're going to take up this controversial voter ID bill. I mean, they're just looking for any way to suppress Democrats. Votes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Right.
Which
isn't going to work, by the way, because the two major groups in this country that they're after going after Hispanics and working people in this country, they've pretty much just written off the base of the entire country. I mean, you're just cutting off groups, going, anybody who's Latino, forget it. We don't like you, and we don't like anybody who likes you. Any worker, anybody who's in a non-executive or management position in this country, we have no respect for the job you do. None whatsoever. You're useless, and if we could move your job to Mexico or China, we would in a heartbeat.
This voter ID bill, I mean, this just gets weirder and weirder. One Democrat attempted to call in participate by telephone, and they just started shouting him down. It offered another strange twist in this standoff, because apparently he's like on a speakerphone, and then they just shouted him down.
Mm-hmm.
So dozens of rallies promoted to solidarity events have been scheduled around the country this week. I mean, this truly is spreading everywhere. In Indiana, nearly all of the Democratic members of the state's House representatives there stayed away from a legislative session, stalling several Republican-sponsored bills, including legislation that would allow workers in the private sector unions the right to opt out of their unions, not pay dues. On Tuesday in Ohio, thousands of pro-unions protesters from across the state arrived in Columbus. The legislature has planned new hearings on a bill there that would effectively end collective bargaining for state workers and dramatically reduce bargaining power for local workers like, you know, cops and firefighters and all that, you know, those unnecessary kind of jobs.
Well, it's all those fringe benefits, like, you know, like if a cop, I don't know, gets shot or whatever and he's not able to walk the rest of his life, you know, that fringe benefit like physical rehab and
canes, walk it off.
Yes, we all know from gym class that you should be able to run that
Yeah,
off.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just these are cops. I mean, if they could really do something with their lives, they'd have, you know, other skills, right? This is this is how Chris Christie
from, you know, taxpayers.
Exactly.
Wisconsin State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, one of the Republicans.
And they don't understand the big picture. And the big picture is that without changes there, mayors and county board chairs and school boards around the state are not going to be able to absorb the deep cuts that are coming next week in the governor's budget.
Oh, I see. It's a big picture thing that we just don't understand.
Right.
One of the Democratic state senators.
I don't know why he's saying that, because, again, he has all of the financial concessions he needs to balance the budget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the, one of the 14 as well, talking about...
this is an assemblyman.
Oh, assemblyman, pardon me.
This is not a game! You're dealing with people's lives!
Yeah, a little bit. People are getting a little bit passionate about this. Yes, another unnamed Republican state assemblyman.
We get it. This is a stall tactic. We get it. Your counterparts over in the Senate won't even show up for work.
We get it. No, actually, this is a tactical approach that you have to take in a situation like this where you guys are going to ramrod through stuff that's actually detrimental to the state.
Yep.
And if you're going to actually say that they don't have the right or the ability to do that, you don't know the actual your state constitution.
Yep.
And since you're so concerned about the taxpayers, don't public employees pay taxes?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Good point. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we continue.
Which is dumb, by the way. That's another conversation.
We continue with all the latest from Wisconsin and elsewhere on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Woo! 23 minutes.
Stephanie Miller.
After the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2. All right. So Mother Jones has posted this. Apparently, it has not been authenticated yet, but a blogger prank called Governor Walker and said he was David Koch of the Koch brothers. And it's about 20 minutes it's posted, but this is the part where Walker is talking about inserting quote-unquote troublemakers into the crowd.
What we were thinking about the crowds was planting some troublemakers.
You know, the only problem with the because we thought about that.
That's the Coke guy.
The problem with, or my only gut reaction to that would be, right now, and the lawmakers I've talked to have just completely had it with them. The public is not really fond of this. Teachers union did some polling and focus groups, I think, and found out that the public turned on them the minute they closed school down for a couple of days. The guys we got left are largely from out of state, and I keep dismissing it in all my press comments, saying, they're mostly from out of state. My only fear would be is if there was a ruckus caused, is that that would scare the public into thinking maybe the governor's got to settle to avoid all these problems. You know, whereas I've said, hey, you know, we can handle this. People can protest. This is Madison, you know, full of the 60s liberals. Let them protest. It's not going to affect us. And as long as we go back to our homes and the majority of people are telling us we're doing the right thing, let them protest all they want.
All right. That was the Koch guy, and he admitted, we thought about that, putting troublemakers into the crowd.
No.
That was the governor. Yes, that's what I'm saying. The governor said, we thought about that. about. Okay. Well, anyway, and he's completely wrong. I mean, the polling that has been done is showing that people are you know, the public tide vastly turning toward the protesters, not the governor.
Well, you know, then you've got one of the people in the chat brought up that Fox News reversing the actual poll results. Gallup saying 61% are against the elimination of collective bargaining rights for federal employees and private and public employees. And they flipped it and said 61% are actually for it. For the
That's so weird of Fox to make a mistake like that.
Absolutely flip it.
All right. By the way, you've probably been seeing this. Rachel Maddow's been reporting on it. The last time Governor Walker went after public sector unions, it had disastrous results for him and for taxpayers. He was a Milwaukee County executive in 2009. Mm-hmm. He tried to get rid of unionized security guards and replace them with contractors, which he promised would save the county money. The county board rejected the idea, but he unilaterally ordered it, claiming that there was a budget emergency. Where have we heard that? Walker hired Wackenhut, the British security contractor of Kabul embassy sex scandal fame, to replace the guards. Unfortunately for Walker and Milwaukee taxpayers, an arbiter later ruled Walker had overstepped his authority and ordered the county to reinstate the unionized workers' pay back wages and pay $10,000 in arbiter free fees. So good job on that one, Governor Wanker.
Well, that's by the way, the impetus for trying to do this on as the governor. Like, making it happen because he thinks he now has the power to do that.
Yep. Jen in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'd like to be the official pastry chef for the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you.
Yes. Yummy.
Thank you.
I actually made your wedding cake when Russ Feingold stood you up.
When I got left at the altar by Russ Feingold. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm calling because I haven't been hearing much talk about yesterday about 300 kids at East High School, including my son, staged a march into school to show support for the teachers and the teacher union, and they had a rally before school, and Jesse Jackson came and actually gave a talk there. And I just think it's really important that people are knowing, you know, I mean, this is an amazing thing that's happening.
I know. It really, really is.
Our young people are getting involved and are really, like, conscious of what's going on, and hopefully they're going to carry this on.
Jen, somebody said it best, I thought. They said, you know, if you gave us $1 million, we couldn't have taught kids this quickly about the power of unions and organizing and solidarity.
And the fact is, they don't teach it. They don't have any curriculum for teaching about the labor movement anymore, and that's.
Yep. Well, this is a real life example, and I think it's.
And
tremendous.
That's not an accident, by the way.
Neil in Madison on this Governor Walker tape. Hello, Neil.
Hi. Last night, Scooter gave a state of the fireside chat at 6 o'clock.
Yes. Yes, because he's a well-known union supporter, just like FDR. What? Yes.
And
go ahead.
In that tape. You know, there's a mention about the guy from Janesville, and whoever did this tape, if it's a phony, did his homework, because everything is spot on exactly, distance-wise, names, everything coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But he mentioned in the tape, Scooter is talking about this guy down there in Janesville.
Yeah.
Last night on this fireside chat, Scooter mentioned the same thing. That tape I'm going to give you is authentic.
Yep. All right. We'll play another little taste of it when we come back. 29 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Al on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Discreet and efficient.
Not to mention classy.
Yeah, the folks on the Hal stream can confirm that. I've let out some classy burps this morning.
Absolutely.
Woo! Who's a big girl? 34 minutes after
the hour.
Those
are burps that could have freed the Chilean miners. that's how they get natural gas out of really like unhelpful terrain.
I get standing ovations in the HAL chat room.
Absolutely.
Really, very supportive. I appreciate it. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Okay, so this tape, is it really Scott Walker? This is on MotherJones.com. A New York-based news editor said he got through to the embattled Wisconsin governor on the phone by posing as David Koch, the right-wing financier. They then had a far-ranging 20-minute conversation about the collective bargaining protest. This is how it started.
Hi, it's Scott Walker.
Scott, David Koch, how are you?
Hey, David. I'm good. And yourself?
I'm very well. A little disheartened by the situation there, but what's the latest?
We're actually hanging pretty tough. I mean, you know, this, amazingly, there's a much smaller group of protesters, almost all of whom are in from other states.
Oh, wow.
State Assembly is taking the bill up, getting it all the way to the last point it can be at where it's unamendable, but they're waiting to pass it till the Senate's in. But the Assembly Democrats have about 100 amendments they're going through. The state Senate still has the 14 members missing, but what they're doing today is bringing up all sorts of other non-fiscal items, many of which are things that members on the Democratic side care about.
Oh, clever.
And each day we're going to ratchet it up a little bit. The Senate Majority Leader had a great plan he told them about this morning, he told the Senate Democrats about, and he's going to announce it later today, and that is the Senate Organization Committee is going to meet and pass a rule that says if you don't show up for two consecutive days on a session day in the state Senate, the Senate chief clerk, it's a little procedural thing here, but can actually have your payroll stop from being automatically deducted.
Clever.
Beautiful.
Your checking account. And instead, you still get a check, but the check has to be personally picked up, and he's instructing them, which we just love,
Wile E. Coyote,
to lock them in their desk on the floor of the state Senate.
Now, you're not talking to any of these Democrat bastards, are you?
There's one guy that's actually voted with
all right.
So they're locking their checks in their desks on the Senate floor, so they have to come down to the floor to pick up their check in person from that. Yeah,
does that guy really sound like David Koch?
I have no idea.
He sounds like a rich
idiot. He sounds enough
idiot.
Like him that he fooled Wanker.
I guess.
Maybe he doesn't talk to the other one.
Not since my friend
pretend
to be Bill Clinton and call Dan Quayle and talk to him for 20 minutes. Have I found a phone prank that hilarious? All right. So I don't know. We'll see if it's authenticated or not, but it's a lot of people in Madison
Governor
calling and saying it
Scott,
sounds authentic.
It's Shemp Koch.
Shemp Koch. How you doing?
I don't get to use the phone a lot because I keep poking myself in the eye with it. But I just wanted to get the lowdown on what's going down there.
So how's your plan to poison all the pizza to kill all the Democrat bastards? How's that going? How's that working?
He actually does later in the call say something about dressing people as hobos.
Yeah,
right.
And the governor, you're like, does David Koch really talk like that? Tad in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tad.
Hi, guys. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I've been having fun with protest signs. And Saturday when the Tea Party was here, my sign said, I thought there would be crumpets. And I made about 10,000 people laugh, I'd say. But the other side of my sign said, Walker is a Koch whore.
Yes!
Well done, lad.
The Capitol Rotunda, and everyone loved it, including the state troopers.
All right. Cool. Governor Rick Santorum, Google him. not for the kids.
What are you suggesting?
He said the Wisconsin protesters are acting like drug addicts. He said that, I don't know whether drug addicted hobos or they're acting like their drug is being taken away from them. That's what he refers to collective bargaining as.
Oh, right. Yeah, that drug like food and shelter.
Uh-huh.
It's amazing how addicted people get to the idea of actually being able to eat on schedule.
Right.
Yes. Oh, by the way,
Yeah.
This is just doing Jim Dandy for business in Madison. Protests are filling Madison hotels and restaurants. At least Governor Walker's helping in some way.
Absolutely.
Creating a sudden need for lodging and food near Madison's Capitol Square. We sold out Saturday, which is incredible, said Patrick Downs of the Edgewater Hotel, where Mama's staying last time I was there.
Oh, that's lovely.
I stayed at the Edgewater.
Well, it's
fabulous.
Which is at the edge of the water, turns
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Hmm. They ain't kidding. It looks like the water's in your room. Ian's Pizza.
It's a boat.
Ian's Pizza has had to stop taking orders from its regular customers so it can handle all the orders of Sunday. They've taken orders from pro-union supporters in 47 states and 14 countries.
Cool.
It is like the the candy factory in Iowa.
Yes,
Lucy.
Steve Marmel twittered to me, and I retweeted it today, the number where you can send pizza to the protesters if you want to. So if you look on at Hal Sparks on my Twitter feed, you can find that number.
Larry, my right-wing love muffin in Minneapolis. Hi, Larry.
Hi, but I'm actually in Pennsylvania, but I'll be in Wisconsin tomorrow driving a truck. I drive out of Wisconsin every week, live in Minnesota.
Okay, thank you.
Are you taking the job the governor's eliminating?
Can you send me the Google map? All right, Larry, go ahead.
Okay. Because I'm in the states from New England back to Wisconsin, Minnesota every week, back and forth, a lot of chance to talk to different people, there was something like the underlying Middle Eastern upheaval coming. We didn't see it in the Middle East, you know, our smartest people, just like they didn't see the Soviet Union collapsing, didn't see what's going on in country after country there.
What
are you talking about?
Nobody saw what was going on in the Middle East? That was completely unexpected.
Six months ago, I didn't hear smart conservatives or liberals predicting that what is going on in Libya and Algeria and Egypt and Tunisia and so forth would be happening. It was an amazing surprise.
Well, there's certainly...
What's your point, exactly?
The election from specifically Pennsylvania through to Minnesota. Minnesota, I've lived there over 40 years. I'm a New York City kid originally, but the Democrats had two to one margins in the state legislature, both the House and the Senate. Nobody on either side imagined the Republicans would win the Minnesota House and Senate.
I see. And that has to do what?
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
Okay, first of all.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Libby, nobody, what?
First of all.
Down there from Manitoba. And to Mexico.
The fall of the Soviet Union was actually something not only we predicted, we were pushing for. It was basically a case of using chemotherapy on a company. Like, if we keep driving up how much money we're spending, they'll keep driving up, and hopefully they'll run out of money before we do. That was the goal. Plus, we were backing the Mujahideen and the Yousafzai in Afghanistan to make them spend all their money
Osama
there.
Bin Laden.
Yeah, exactly. So,
by the way, you were talking about
nobody saw it
something
coming.
Else. Morning Joe just irritated the bejesus out of you this morning. But they're criticizing the president on Libya now.
Well, the Lockerbie bomb, he's saying, first of all, he said, you know, I think when the history is written, that you'll see that the president had a lot more to do with the release of the Lockerbie bomber than has been stated. Okay, first of all, from the president and from the administration and from the State Department, there's been nothing but a condemnation about it all along. But and it's one thing to, like, do that as a Glenn Beck conspiracy theory, but Morning Joe, he's trying to pass himself off as a legit person. They're making fun of truthers. There's no difference between being a truther and saying that there's manipulative behind-the-scenes stuff with the Lockerbie bomber. That just, it's the same.
Right, but you were talking about, they were saying, like, what's he supposed to do about Gaddafi? You're talking about
because he was like, why hasn't he come out against Gaddafi? Okay, first of all, Gaddafi's in Tripoli, maybe, and he's in a pickup truck with a parasol. Nobody knows where he is. The protesters are doing just fine, thank you.
Yeah.
And if the president of the United States comes out and goes, we stand with the protesters in Libya and we're going to be there for everything that they need, then the extremists there and their version of the right wing could come out and say, this is all just a puppet thing by the United States.
Exactly.
It gives them an excuse to shoot more people.
Gaddafi,
that's why you keep your mouth shut. Cowboy diplomacy does not work, Joe.
Gaddafi appeared on state TV in a different funny hat to say he hadn't gone anywhere. He said, don't believe those misleading dog stations. I don't know if he was referring to Animal Planet or what, but the Muammar Gaddafi.
When this place was bombed, here at my home, and my children were fighting them, where were you rats? Where were you men with beards? Where were you? You were with America.
Wow.
See? Exactly.
You
were with America.
I am paying the price of staying here. I cannot bring shame to this great ancestry. I cannot leave my grandfather's grave in Margab. I shall die as a martyr beside him in the end.
In Tripoli.
I don't know if I'd bring that up.
It might be two countries over.
Hillary Clinton yesterday.
We are obviously watching developments in Libya with grave concern. We have joined with the international community in strongly condemning the violence in Libya.
Can I just say for the record that 8 years of the Bush administration basically trying to bomb the Arabs into democracy and none of it working.
Uh-huh.
And then the president spends the last 2 years going, you know, we're not the enemy of Muslims in the world. And suddenly this uprising of the youth comes up and goes, starts happening, and nobody's giving credit to that there might have been this huge diplomatic shift on the part of the United States might be one of the parts that actually made all this happen. Nobody's
even
mentioning
it. In Cairo.
Secretary of State Clinton.
The government of Libya bears responsibility for what is occurring and must take actions to end the violence. Now, as always, the safety and well-being of Americans has to be our highest priority.
Wow, this will come as some breaking news to some of the teachers protesting in Madison. I guess you should stop now. John Stossel on the O'Reilly Factor said if there were no teacher unions, good teachers would make $200,000 a year.
What?
Uh-huh. I see it's your unions that are preventing you from making the
$200,000
would be paying you.
So John Stossel's going to
take
in some money for non-union teachers.
Apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay, 45. Wow.
That's like saying to a rape victim, if you would just stop saying no, maybe it would end the rape. Yes. Like, that's craziness.
If you just conceded and, you know, let it happen, then it wouldn't be rape. Mm-hmm. See,
hey, you make $17,000 a year with it for your family to live off. You should just be quiet and eat it. It's amazing to me.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, this is so amazing. It's all anybody in my class is talking about.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Here I go again. My, how can I resist her? Mama. Stephanie Miller. Now I really know. My, I could never let you go.
Yeah, 50 minutes after the hour.
I don't know the words I'm singing because I don't speak English.
All right. Oh, folks in the Hal Sparks chat room are saying that Kim Jong-il must be jealous that he's getting out crazied by all these other dictators.
I'm being out crazied. Crazy, I'm crazy over in Sauron.
You're losing your what?
I'm losing my religion. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot, right?
Why am I picturing him in an umbrella hat now? I don't know why.
Lindsay Lohan is in court, by the way.
Yeah. Who is?
Lindsay Lohan. She's in court today, this morning, so that's why we haven't heard anything from him. He's sitting at home watching TV.
I hope they sentence her to life imprisonment in my castle, in my Paris.
Steve in Minneapolis. Hello, Steve.
Hey, folks, what's happening?
Not much, go ahead.
Boy, I'll tell you, this whole thing with the fake Koch brothers, the amazing thing about it is I really, really think and hope it's real. I mean, they really get into some inside baseball stuff there. But what's really great is towards the end, if you listen and read the script at BuffaloBeast.com, which hasn't crashed, at least on my end, there's one part where the David Koch guy describes Mika Brzezinski as a nice piece of ass. At the very end,
this is how right-wing guys talk, I guess, and it's all right.
Well, you know, the saddest thing about Morning Joe is as bad as it was that Joe Scarborough was filleting Chris Christie, Mika is in a position.
Oh, yeah, he said it.
An image.
Oh, and I'm
he
still here. I've been evaporated into a puff of Cheetos. and Mac. Anyways, is the fact that Mika has to carry the water. And Joe has no compunction about shutting her down and being condescending because she's a woman.
Yeah, shut up, you're a chick. What do you know?
He used to be the same way with Rachel Maddow when they would, you know, before she got her show. Rachel, you've never run for office. Okay. So, by the way, we've been talking about.
I've never been
this.
Voted out of office because of people hated me either. So,
never had an intern. Dead intern in your office.
Oh, if only she would go there like I would. Mm-hmm. See, that's why I would
my
go
interns
there.
Are
and
alive.
Then I would never be invited back on
right.
MSNBC.
Shut up! Mm-hmm. Nobody ever talks about that. Mm-hmm.
All right. As we mentioned, the same thing going on in Ohio, by the way, as in Wisconsin. Governor John Kasich.
Everything around this issue, around the issue of the budget, is designed to create a platform for job growth and entrepreneurship.
Oh.
If we don't do that, We're not going to make it as a state.
Uh-huh.
Entrepreneurship. You,
you
mean,
just killed.
You just killed
funding for a train.
By the way,
shipped. By the way,
here's
goods
a not
services.
So here's a not so fun fact about unions in Ohio. State employees have taken 5 pay cuts in 9 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this lie that you know they have these big fat paychecks and whatever.
It's absurd.
Ohio State Senator Kevin Bacon, what?
Yeah. The city of Cincinnati reports they're having growing costs annually in their payroll of 18%. But once it's approved, once you go down that path, you can never reverse it. So we're trying to give them the ability to adjust so that they're not bankrupting their communities.
Thank you, this sir. Is... I have another.
Yeah, I'm telling you
calm.
What. This
all
is
well.
This is an epic battle. The bill in Ohio, controversial, could have political repercussions for Ohio Republicans, some of whom draw votes from union members. But Republicans, here they are again. It's this fight with the establishment and the Tea Party. They're saying political analysts are saying the position against unions has become part of the mantra now for the Tea Party groups. Ted Strickland, the Democrat who lost there, said there's an awakening within the general population. This is not what they voted for. And I think there's increasing concern among people who have no direct connection to organized labor about what's being proposed. And the polls, I think, are bearing that out in Wisconsin.
Kasich is talking in terms of percentages, and they bring this number up all the time because these people want a 19% raise, which sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
You know, 19%. Imagine a 19% tip on a $1,000 meal, you'd go, that's insane. That's, you know, that's a lot of money or whatever. But when you go, well, it's a $5 meal, you go, well, and I'm just giving them an extra couple bucks because it was nothing to me. And
By the way, Lansing, Michigan, just to keep track of everywhere, state capital will be packed. Union members from around the state gathered to protest Governor Rick Snyder's budget proposal there. Also, Tea Party members coming there. Obviously, same as going on in Wisconsin. Chuck Schumer is rallying behind state workers. He sent supporters an email asking them to help raise money to elect more Democrats in Wisconsin. He said, I'm sure you've watched as the hard right governor of Wisconsin doing everything he can to eliminate collective bargaining rights for the men and women working in state government. He may wish to take America back to the 1920s when workers had no rights, but the rest of us certainly don't. Thank you, Chuck Schumer. Mm-hmm. I think we need to hear from more Democrats.
It's just sad that, and again, you're going to hear a lot of talk about percentages because it that way they don't have to tell you that the teachers and cops and firefighters in your area are making below the poverty level in some cases. So,
by the way, right-wing tool Rich Galen was on the show yesterday, and we wondered where he got this talking point from. The New York Times' David Brooks makes the argument they're trying to divide and conquer hell, even among unions, as you know. So he makes the argument popular among conservatives now that public sector unions are terrible things that shouldn't exist, but private sector ones are okay.
No, that's fine. We like you. Mm-hmm. So there's other people we hate.
Until...
it's like the Belgians and the Hutus and the Tutsis. Those people are animals. Go ahead and kill them, but we like
Washington, you. This is in the Washington Post. Good piece. It says, really odd how conservatives have discovered the right of private sector unions to exist after succeeding in decimating private sector union membership. Now that private sector unions are weaker than they've been in 100 years, they've fallen in love with them.
Huh.
Given that public workers in Wisconsin have indicated they're willing to take cuts in the benefits to preserve their collective bargaining rights, it's become clear Scott Walker, who managed to create the budget deficit he's now using as an excuse to cut those benefits, is merely trying to crush a Democratic political constituency. The moral and ideological pretext for this is the notion that the public worker unions are essentially entirely different from private sector ones. It's certainly true that sometimes public workers have interests contrary to those of the public, but as John Side writes, there's no direct correlation between public sector collective bargaining and yawning state budget deficits. That's the key point. We live in a country where corporations can anonymously funnel billions of dollars to affect the outcome of elections that decide who their regulators are and oversees them. But according to Brooks, we're supposed to see public worker unions, one of the few remaining institutions standing between American democracy and runaway oligarchy, as a singularly sinister influence on the body politic. Mm-hmm. Ezra, or Urza, as I call him, Klein writes, this is about political power. If Republicans succeed, one of the few remaining institutions aligned against the creeping bipartisan corporatism of both parties will be seriously, if not fatally, wounded. Good piece, Washington Post today.
Some of the writers were even talking about getting rid of child labor laws.
Right.
You want to go back to the...
Not only getting rid of child labor laws, but specifically rewriting the law so that children can work in hotels and areas. And that was the child labor laws were originally drafted not because of factory jobs and keeping kids from selling newspapers on the street, but because of child prostitution in the early part of the 1900s.
You do not want to tune out now. We have the Sarah Palin juicy tell-all book and her fake Facebook page. Rush Limbaugh's thoughts about Michelle Obama's figure and...
God.
Right Wing World. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's always time to feel good on Wednesdays because it's hump days with Hal Sparks.
All right.
6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. HalSparks.com, we're video streaming right now. I'm wearing my red in solidarity with our worker friends in Madison.
And looking quite sexy, by the way.
Oh, one of the problems with getting up at...
Stupid o'clock?
Yeah, I'm going to bed at...
Ass in the morning?
Yes. Ass after.
Ass in the morning. I get up, that's what I describe coming in on Wednesdays when I come in here with you guys. I have to get up at ass in the morning.
Yes. Because
like, yes. You get up and you're like,
ugh. It's a little before insane o'clock. Yeah.
Right.
I don't believe I missed this last night. Oh, at the, what you call it, the Paley Center for Media Staff. If you don't already know, you should. The Best of Laughing at the Paley Center in Beverly Hills. Larry King is moderating, George Slaughter, Artie Johnson, Gary Owens, and Joanne Worley.
Wow.
It my other happy place, besides Hump Days with Hal Sparks, is, of course, Joanne Worley.
Shock it to me?
By the way, oh, speaking of my buddy Larry King, he will be on Piers Morgan's show just days after he called his successor oversold. Oh, this should be good.
Oversold, Piers Morgan, hello.
Morgan tweeted, got a feeling we may need to discuss Larry's claim I'm oversold and not dangerous. I'm going to tune in for that.
Because that's what we tuned in for Larry King for, the danger.
You and oh, trust me, I was there. You were in the danger zone.
Suspenders could pop at any moment.
Absolutely.
His barrel chest and his skinny legs not holding him up. You know, I've been on that show. I had him hold his blue card and go, Hal Sparks, straight actor, gay role, yes, no, maybe, what?
What is happening?
Syntax, none.
Yeah. Like, you have no idea who I am or what's going on, do you? I mean, I understand you do the show every day, but it's the only thing you do every day.
All right. By the way, I have a Facebook page.
Yes.
And as Juan Kett writes, apparently Sarah Palin is not reading the liberal newspapers and other publications that provide news about Facebook privacy settings.
Uh-oh.
Because it turns out she has a secret Facebook page where she compliments Sarah Palin.
She compliments herself. Well, granted, she doesn't write a lot of what she says.
This is from Wong. It looks like America's Facebookingest failed governor has been using a fake account to shower praise on her daughter and like herself. She's friends with some creepy people. The geniuses of Wonkette have been reading the leaked memoir from one of Palin's former aides and discovered a mistakenly unredacted private email for Palin in the manuscript. They plugged the email address into the Facebook machine, which
boy.
Awesomely associates Facebook accounts with email addresses even when the addresses aren't public on the page. And presto changeo, up comes a page for Lou Sarah, who is friends with a bunch of Wasilla folk and has an unhealthy obsession with Bristol Palin. Here she is delivering Bristol a message of faith and inspiration after her devastating loss on that dancing show. You are a winner. Thank you for remembering the Lord in your nice remarks.
Yeah, the Lord hates to be forgotten.
Yes. Oh, wait, I have more on the Lord in the tell-all book about Sarah Palin, which is hilarious. Lou Sarah also used the page for sock puppetry, liking herself, commenting amen on Palin's public Facebook page, and recommending likes to her own op-eds.
Wow.
Most of her 12 Facebook friends are Wasilla residents, including her father, Chuck Heath, and some lady named Claire Barton, who's a member of her Assemblies of God church. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see here. She wrote on the Facebook page of...
Was that one of her things that she posted? Because I would actually believe that. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see here.
Another bit of evidence that belongs to Palin. She wrote on the Facebook page of Alaska training company Edge Fitness to alert them to an upcoming plug in Sarah Palin's Alaska. Edge Fitness is seen in upcoming TLC Sarah's Parents Alaska. Blah, blah, blah. How Lou Sarah would know that was in an upcoming episode of Palin's show. It's a bit of a mystery. Continued. Yes, the new memoir from an embittered former aide to Sarah Palin includes a trove of emails that vividly illustrate her intense focus on image and depiction in the media. The emails portray Palin as nearly obsessed with her political adversaries and consumed with every slight, real or perceived. The still unpublished manuscript obtained by Politico reveals Palin penning letters to the editor in praise of herself to be sent under other names. It blames the candidate for inflaming rather than ignoring scurrilous rumors, and it quotes her pledging to avoid appearing on any network other than Fox, referring to the rest of them as the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Written
by mainstream media.
I love this. Written by Frank Bailey, a Palin ally, confirmed that Bailey had Palin corresponded, and the former aide had access to Palin's passwords and her email account. But the Palin ally says the content should be viewed through the lens of him being a disgruntled employee, albeit a disgruntled employee with her with her private email address and passwords and
sure.
email. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
If we need any further evidence that she's just so shallow in eighth grade and not prepared to be a leader of any kind, mm-hmm. she delves deeply into the case of, what's her name, Carrie Prejean, Miss California, yes, and other weighty matters like this. The Miss California who voiced her support.
Sorry. Believe me, it would end the minute she started talking,
right.
But there's a moment of just like, oy.
Just don't.
She apparently went on and on about it. He thought about contacting the media to explain her support for Prejean, and then reconsidered. If I call those reporters, then I'm on the hook to answer all their other questions they want.
Wow.
She's obsessed with some teen beauty queen thing, and then decides, yeah, I might have to.
They might ask me a substantive question, so I can't even. I'm angry. The press won't let me just comment on pop culture crap when I'm a failed governor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. After they could not confirm her attendance at an event, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee rescinded their invitation. Palin to speak at their fundraising dinner that month in favor of Newt Gingrich. She reacted by typing a scathing assessment of the former speaker and the National Party, in which she credited God for keeping her away from the fundraiser. She wrote, yes, Newt and GOP are egotistical, narrow-minded machine goons, but all the more reason God protected me from getting up on that stage. And seriously, later on, she writes, plus, I had nothing to wear, and God knew that, too. God,
wow.
God mostly concerned.
God dangles around her closet.
Yes, about what if Sarah Palin had something.
Because she had to give back all those clothes.
Every time I hear somebody go, you know what I like about Sarah Palin? She's just like me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's somebody who finally represents me in the. Like my instant response is, oh, you mean you're dumb too? Like you don't care about the ramifications of what you're talking about. You're just kind of in it for yourself, and you don't really. Mm. You're not looking down the road at all. Like,
no. So,
I'm glad you're finally represented.
What's a ramification?
Ramblification.
So well-known fitness and fashion expert Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, God.
As we know, poked fun at Michelle Obama's waistline.
Really?
I know, it's not the setup for it. It's just, it is the joke. It's not even a... Okay, we have some of that coming up in Right-Wing World in just a moment. His comments come on the heels of those from several other right-leaning critics who have decried the nanny state mentality of the First Lady's Let's Move campaign. Sarah Palin, there she is again, and the Michelle Bachmann have criticized her advocacy for breastfeeding. Last December, Palin poked fun at the Let's Move during an episode of her TLC reality thing. By making some s'mores, she said this is in honor of Michelle Obama, who said the other day we shouldn't have dessert. Oh, okay.
She never said that. Yeah, that's what you heard, and that's more indicative.
Yeah.
Where were all of these right-wingers when Laura Bush was going around the country ordering our children to read books, for God's sake?
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, keep in mind...
How dare she?
Remember, these people harken back to the broccoli conversation with George Bush Sr.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hate broccoli, and I don't want to eat it.
Andrew Breitbart's website published a cartoon, this will be hilarious, depicting Michelle Obama as overweight and hypocritical, eating hamburgers while talking to the president about Let's Move. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that's funny. The First Lady this month touts the one-year anniversary of Let's Move. Then they also, as you recall, on Fox, they made a huge issue out of the Super Bowl menu. Michelle Obama suggested at the time the Super Bowl menu does not contradict the Let's Move campaign. She's never advocated the total elimination of junk food. I mean, it's just... Am I wrong? I just don't remember a first lady being targeted like this with horribly racist and you know, just unbelievably mean. Here's the thing. I always love the comments after these stories run on websites. someone wrote, someone named Phil wrote, she is a mouth-stuffing hog. Do it, not as I say, do as I do, liberal moron.
And again, Rush goes on and says how many calories are in an order of ribs from that place. It has nothing to do with how many she consumed. Has nothing to do with, because Rush can't sit in front of a meal without eating all of it, apparently, and that's been his issue for a very long time.
You know what? She exercises so that she can have the occasional plate of ribs.
Right.
Beside the fact of just basic disrespect for a first lady, she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She has a great body.
Yeah.
God.
Here's the thing. They're just constantly looking for reasons to downplay their legitimacy as human beings.
Right.
Again, this is the animalizing of people, to coin a KISS word.
Jim?
Yes?
Sorry, what you were saying?
I don't remember.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? All right, here he is, Rush Limbaugh from his show yesterday.
Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting a lot of grief out there for my highly civil comments about Michelle Obama eating short ribs in Vail. These were highly civil comments, for crying out loud. I mean, people are going nuts. Every USA Today, the Politico... Some people are suggesting that my comments are below the belt. Well, take a look at some pictures. Given where she wears her belts, I mean, she wears them high up there around the bust line. Isn't just about everything about her below the belt when you look at the fashion sense that she has.
Wow. He's criticizing her fashion sense.
First of all, what's the softcore porn blues that plays behind him kind of nonstop?
Christy Hine.
That's his opening thing. I don't. It's almost too wide. It's almost too easy a target, isn't it? Comedy wise, Hal, to talk about Rush Limbaugh criticizing someone else's waistline and fashion sense.
Saying, how do you walk into that rake? How do you be Rush Limbaugh and make fun of someone else's?
Yeah, he has an entire closet of just fat guy black shirts. Is that which fat guy black shirt should I wear today?
After Oberman was showing that footage of him at CPAC where he was bouncing up and down, he went and either started on some new pills or got a stomach stapling or whatever and lost a ton of weight. He's now getting it back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because his lifestyle is not conducive to actual health.
Yeah.
And she comes out and tries to get kids. We have an epidemic of childhood obesity in this country.
Yeah.
It's a fact. And guess what? Even if you don't care about the lifestyle of those people, even if you don't care about them, you know, their day-to-day, they're going to cost you more money in health care costs down the road. Your health care premiums are going to go up.
Exactly.
A person who is overweight from birth. Oh, sorry. Right.
At least he understands the whole Wisconsin situation and unions, clearly. There we go.
These unions that we are talking about are by definition... militants. By definition, they are agitators, community organizers, or what have you.
Come on.
These are the people that show up and beat up black guys.
Huh?
At town hall meetings in St. Louis. Black guys in wheelchairs.
That's the point of unions, Jim, in case you missed it. It's to beat up black guys, particularly those in wheelchairs.
And for the record... that's something that his listeners are probably going to go, well, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe I do like unions.
Wait a minute.
How can I join that union?
Yeah, right. Is there a local black guy beating up wheelchair 48 that I could join?
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get my kids above the waistline, sunshine.
No, not Hal Sparks. He was just hip grinding into the Hal cam. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number.
Can't help it. That flute just does it for me.
Sam in Arizona. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just got a question. Even though Wisconsin has the right to wait a year to recall the governor, why can't they collect the signatures now to show what will be waiting for him after all of this is over? And can any of the Republican senators be recalled?
I guess anybody can be recalled, right?
They have to do something illegal.
They have to do something illegal? Oh.
Like Clarence Thomas?
Yeah, seriously, that's...
Exactly. All right. Let's finish up Right Wing World. Michael Reagan on the Fox News. He doesn't like Chris Matthews, my buddy, my pal.
It seems, unless there's a tingling going up his leg, he really doesn't feel it. It just shows you really how out of touch he is, because they asked the American people, they asked Democrats, Republicans, independents, what they thought, who they believed was the number one president in their lifetimes, or forever, if you will. And Chris just doesn't want to buy into it, because he has his favorites, and he thinks his favorites are the righteous favorites. He thinks he's always right, and unfortunately, he's always wrong.
So everyone's favorite president was Hoover, it turns out.
Yes.
And wow. And P.S., I, as far as I know, Chris Matthews presented that as his own personal opinion. And so where's is this guy's opinion about Chris Matthews' opinion I'm supposed to take seriously? So basically, that guy's opinion of who's the best president overrides some Chris Matthews' opinion. Who gives a crap?
Yes. Oh, and you know who he thinks, the number one person he thinks didn't honor Ronald Reagan appropriately, that would be Ron Reagan Jr., his brother. Oh, he went... Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the most mean-spirited thing, wasn't it? He went on TV and said, oh, his father was embarrassed of him and his mother's embarrassed of him. And, you know, Ron's like, yeah, well, I talked to my mom last night. She didn't mention that. She mentioned she was proud of me and she loved the book. I mean, just...
Mm-hmm. He used to be a ballet dancer, huh? Huh?
You know what that means?
You know, huh?
Anybody who can dance, clearly.
I'm just saying.
Glenn Beck on the radio.
I figure that over a period of time here, I don't know how long, I will lose listeners and viewers.
Too late.
Because I am going to be telling you things that nobody wants to hear.
Because they're
just
not
remember
true.
What we told you again about a year ago, that he was creating a new structure.
Mm-hmm.
And that we told you that this is what, I think it was Caesar Augustus did.
What?
He would leave all of the trappings, but they wouldn't work. They didn't do anything. He left the Senate. He left all the trappings of the Republic. But it changed.
Wow, that's a new one. You have to hand it to him. Caesar. He hasn't made a Caesar analogy. He's like Caesar.
Wait a minute. What?
I know.
And, of course, the German word Kaiser comes from Caesar, mm-hmm. which proves mm-hmm. that Hitler was Roman,
right? Mm-hmm. And you could tell because anytime he draped a towel around his waist coming out of the shower, he did one over the shoulder diagonally and tucked it in. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. He's going, I'm going to, you know, I may lose viewers and listeners because I'm saying something they don't want to hear. Yeah. Fake facts,
yes.
BS, gibberish. Yes. He is the Gaddafi of the modern news.
Yes, because it's incomprehensible.
At some point, we're going to need a translator to translate it into our own language.
He'd make more sense if you were speaking Arabic.
Yeah.
Gretchen Carlson on the Fox News journalism, with some say.
The Democrats also are holding some of the cards in other parts of negotiations and other things that they want passed. Mm-hmm. So whether or not this will actually work remains to be seen. The governor of this state, not budging, and some editorials being written today that the president could learn a thing or two about leadership from this particular governor in Wisconsin.
Oh, is that what some say? Some say in some editorial somewhere, some say, yeah. Did they avoid, doing the entire poll about how the majority of Wisconsinites are behind the
what do they know?
Public workers and not the...
P.S. From the chat, Jess Lane is saying the call is now confirmed.
Yay!
Yes!
The prank call
to Governor Wanker by the blogger that he thought was David Koch.
Hey, David Koch, don't I sound like a rich jerk? This is the rich jerk accent. I probably believe
dressing
this.
Up some hobos.
Yeah, you know, tell me what's going on. How are we sticking it to the little one?
Mika Brzezinski, nice piece, right?
Yeah, right. Look at that.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's no mystery. I obviously have the flu coupled with sudden onset Tourette's syndrome.
Or Tourette's.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour.
I wonder if Urza Klein has Tourette's.
Bill in Madison. Hello, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
As far as recalling senators, you have to have them in for 1 year. So, and then you need 25% of the vote from their district. And there are 5 Republicans eligible to be recalled right now, and the signatures are being gathered. So we need 540,000 to recall Scott Walker, and we have to wait, you know, another 315 days.
Mm, okay.
But anyway, the reason I called was, I know you know this, is that the amazing thing about these protests going on here in Madison is how many young people are there, how many parents are bringing their small kids. And now I understand this tape has been confirmed. If Scott Walker even contemplated for a second sending goons and provocateurs into that crowd, he is not fit to be the governor of the state.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, honey. Yeah. There's a part of the tape when it's the blogger, right? The guy that's pretending to be David Koch says, "Have you thought about?"
We send down some troublemakers down there. And he goes, "Yeah, we thought about it, but you know."
He decided not to. Yeah.
Because they can't manage the messaging of it. That's the only reason he didn't.
Yeah, because it might turn out badly for me. Yeah.
Right.
Lesson Boca.
Not
hello.
Not it's wrong.
Hey, Steph, and everybody. This is Dirt Law from the chat room.
Oh, hey. How are you?
Good. You know, with talking about the recall and getting the signatures, I think the unions and all the people should start a voter registration drive at this point to
Absolutely.
Make sure that everybody doesn't get reelected next
right.
time.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, keep in mind, though, Dirt Law, as well, that's part of the goal of this. The breaking of the unions is to break a huge arm of you know, voter motivation for the Democratic Party.
That was my dream yesterday, Hal. That was my fantasy, as I thought, you know, when you all this beautiful scene you're seeing in Madison, I'm like, I hope the unions come back stronger than ever from this.
Yeah.
I think, you know, because God knows, like, membership has been declining. They've been weakening. I hope that this reignites the union. Oh, by the way, we're having Terry O'Sullivan, president of LIUNA, on tomorrow, whom we love.
Which is a union, not a planet.
Right.
Laborers International Union. Okay, thank you.
I am from LIUNA.
All right, let's finish up Right Wing World. Eric Bolling on explaining on the Glenn Beck TV program, as only he can, what's really happening in Madison.
Last night on the show, I had a kid. We had a reporter in the audience, a kid. He went up to a little boy. He's 6 years old. And a reporter said, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "I don't want mommy to lose her job." And he said, "What's her job?" He said, "She's a teacher." And I turned to him and I said, "Do you understand? Does he understand that Scott Walker in Wisconsin is trying to save mommy's job?
Huh?
He's trying to make sure that mommy doesn't get laid off because the unions have driven the price of labor so high in Wisconsin they can't afford."
Yes.
Oh.
They're making hundreds of dollars a year. Literally hundreds.
Yeah. Right. If we have teachers that can make a car payment, this economy is going to
collapse.
Democracy,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right. By the way, speaking of whether it's Citizens United, this union breaking, this is to show you what a critical time we're at. This is not good news. A new Gallup poll finds fewer Americans self-identify as Democrats today than they did in 2008. Potentially bad news for President Obama's re-election bid, as many of the declines occurred in states he carried. Every state had fewer residents describing themselves as Democrats. These states, by the way, carried include Nevada, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Colorado, and Indiana. According to Gallup, a total of 12 states, including Tennessee, Virginia, and Missouri, that were solidly or lean Democratic in 2008 have now shifted to competitive.
Canada, my home and
just
native
hold on
land.
Now. Stay and fight. Mm-hmm. But as Gallup notes, voters aren't exactly rushing to the GOP either. Rather, they're simply more competitive states ahead of 2012. The news isn't entirely bad for Obama's party. According to Gallup, Democratic states still outnumber Republican states by 23-10 in 2010, and there were 14 solidly Democratic states compared with 5 solidly Republican states. Mm-hmm. So we're in the fight of our lives, kids. And, you know.
And that is why voter suppression is a key tactic of the GOP for the next 2 years. And it's why immigrants and the families of legal immigrants, people who have come here from, you know, from Mexico, from Latin America, are being marginalized strongly so that they can't get out to vote because of fear of if they have a family member who might be loosely tied.
This is no time to go to Canada, Jim Ward. It's time to man up and stay here and fight for the unions and fight for... Mm-hmm. I've been saying, talking about, you know, investing in progressive infrastructure, particularly for radio, not just to benefit
Stephanie Miller,
but for the future. You know, they built conservative radio infrastructure 30 years ago, and that is part of it. Mm-hmm. Television we can't really affect right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah, MSNBC is on a much higher tier, and you can get Fox anywhere, but at least we have an MSNBC where we're hugely outnumbered is in radio, where they have hundreds of stations parroting these same talking points and lies and union bashing. And
right,
I'm just saying, 2012 is going to be the fight of our lives with Citizens United and, you know, blah, 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 blah. All right, and it also would directly benefit
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, however, I'm just saying, it's also... Good for me, good for America, Hal Sparks.
I agree.
Good for you, I might be able to pay you for something, for God's sakes.
Oh,
instead of getting you to paint the fence for free every Wednesday.
That fence has about 200 coats on it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've started, it's now cement. I've now actually, yeah. I built the Great Wall of China. Now I am muraling it.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid urged lawmakers from his home state of Nevada to make prostitution illegal. Oh, he already beat that whore, didn't he? Just kidding. That was like a Meg Whitman joke out here. I didn't mean to call Sharon Angle a whore. Right. I apologize.
Whatever. It's a pun.
Kidding.
That's right.
Mm.
I think that's, I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I really don't think it will land. There won't be any movement because
they like their hoes.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I was going to try and find a nice way of saying it.
Yeah.
No, forget it. And then, but it gives him an end run around the religious conservatives in
right.
his state who might try to, you know.
Yeah. Mary.
Out.
Of course, they're probably the biggest.
Totally. Yeah, they're the biggest.
That's why they don't want. That's why they want a cash society. That's why they all right. hate credit and all that kind
of
stuff.
Mary in Madison, home of the Coke whore, David Walker. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Yes.
Thanks so much for
Scott
all
Walker.
Doing.
What did I say? Sorry. Go ahead.
Thanks so much for all you're doing because it really encourages us and gives us strength because this has been a long and tiring fight for us. One of the points I wanted to make is even though now my husband's a president of the Madison Teachers Union and he and his coworkers helped start this whole thing and we have been working tirelessly. He's slept in the Capitol overnight. In the meantime, our resolve has not been set. My father's been hospitalized the whole week that this has been happening, and on my break, I've been walking down to the Capitol at noon to give protests.
Yep. And Mary, you know the beautiful thing is people for years have been saying, oh, you know, we don't, Americans just don't care, we're too lazy, we're watching reality mm-hmm. TV. Well, guess what? We do care about something.
We do care, and about, and, you know, even though my husband's had to go back to work, parents are taking up the slack. I'm taking up the slack
right.
as a spouse. I'm going down there at noon. He's going down after work. I'm emailing things and doing things on the computer for my dad's hospital room. We're just not giving up. And
good
so
for you.
Even though and I wanted to say about the kind of crowd, like yesterday there were women there with their babies and snugglies and their toddlers playing in the snow on the Capitol lawn.
I mean
these are the thugs. And if they think my husband as a union leader is a thug, on the weekends he teaches folk dancing. I mean now,
folk dancing
comedy folk dancing.
Break that we're this group of thugs. We have, you know, he walks to work. I just got a job walking to work.
Are you here to rough me up? Oh, you just want a do-si-go. Okay.
Yeah, right. I know. I mean, really. And,
thanks,
and as far as the recalling,
yes.
You know, there's I think 8 senators, and the problem is the timing of things. You don't have to necessarily do something wrong to be recalled. You just have to collect signatures and get it on the ballot. The problem is the timing. You have to, by the time you start the recall, you have to get a certain number of signatures within a certain period of days in order for that recall to be successful. And if you, you know, don't follow the certain protocols, but, you know, then you can't, if you fail at that recall, you can't try it again for a certain period of time.
Yeah,
so there's,
I gotcha. There,
you know, so there's a certain timing, but that's something that we're all working on, too.
All right. Well, Mayor, thanks so much for the update.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Keep fighting that good fight.
That.
Thank you.
She and her husband both got jobs and probably 2 jobs a day, and, you know, they're working.
Uniquely American. 3 jobs.
Uniquely American.
Way
to
go.
They have to walk to work and they have to bring their kids. There's no
mm-hmm.
child care, so they have to bring their children to actually.
Great story.
One of them can watch and lose some wages because they have to stay home.
Ruth in Michigan. Hello, Ruth.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
My dad was a labor lawyer, and I have 2 sisters that are teachers. And the one thing people don't understand is that teachers for years have paid directly into a dedicated fund for their benefits, their retirement,
mm-hmm. right.
their disability, their health insurance, which these states raided this century
mm-hmm. yep.
in the last decade. And now they're saying there's no money to pay for your benefits. It's because they spent it.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
exactly. That's what I mean. I'd feel screwed if I were you. It's like, you know, I don't understand how that's not easy for people to understand that, you know, a deal is a deal and none of us like to get screwed. None of us like to go, okay, well, you know, I agreed to this for this many years because you said I'd get this, you know, and then it's like getting punked.
Well, mm-hmm. and not just that, they put this money aside specifically in a dedicated fund that the legislatures let them raid. So there's no money to pay their health insurance. Well, no kidding. You spent it on something else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well,
but,
go ahead.
Additionally, anyone who's complaining about teachers' unions, if you had last weekend off, if you worked an 8-hour day,
if you have disability or a health care benefit, let me tell you, this vacation brought to you by a union. That's not the largesse of the company you work for. That's because unions and men like my father spent the entire last century fighting
these rights. That's right. Thank you, honey. Thank you.
Thanks to unions that there were weekends.
Yeah.
3-hour work week.
Yeah, you'd have to spend every day with me if it wasn't for unions. Brian.
For free?
That's why I always tell them I rarely invite them to things socially, because I'm like, that's the last thing they want to spend more time with me outside of work.
You missed a spot on that fence.
Ryan and Madison.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
First things first, you are the sexiest lady on talk radio.
Oh, thank you very much.
Bar none. You are a babe.
I hate to tell you, it's not such a high bar in radio, but okay. Thank you, Ryan. I'm competing with Laura Ingram.
You don't have a face
for
radio.
See, Ryan, they just live to make my life difficult when I run into Laura Ingram at a radio convention. Tell those guys to stop implying that I have an annoying voice.
We're not implying it. We're inferring it. We're allowing for the inference thereof.
Tell those guys to stop doing the Laura Ingram orgasm. Okay, sorry for that, Ryan. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's all right. Anyway, the reason I called, what's happening in Wisconsin? I'm from Madison. I've been at the protests, and what's happening in Wisconsin, what's happening in Ohio, what they're trying to do in Indiana, what they're trying to do in all these other states, is try to convince us that we're out of money, that we're broke.
Yeah.
America is a rich nation. Mm-hmm. It is getting richer and richer year by year. We've been lowering taxes year by year for the last 30 years. If every year for the last 30 years you've been working, you brought in a smaller and smaller salary. Yeah, you have to be cutting back all the time because
they're asking you to love your abusers. It's like, you know, Scott Walker ran you over with his car and broke your leg. He's like, he's trying to help you get up. Governor Walker's just trying to help you. Why won't you? I can't
get
up.
Giving you incentive.
But you broke my leg.
Just sign this little thing that you won't sue and you won't charge his insurance and that you'll pay for the repairs to his car, and he'll help you to the hospital. By dropping you off behind the dumpster because you can't be seen near the hospital, because that would mean culpability.
46 minutes after the hour, back with the latest from Wisconsin Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
I get it.
Roof.
51 minutes after the hour. I get it. See, this is where the dog story combines with Celebrity Stack, because... All right, I have to tell this story, Chris, without any, here, give Chris a microphone for a minute.
Hello.
Because you can confirm that boy band that I live next door to.
Yes. I come by your house every day to drop off, show prep and stuff like that.
And
I think he's gotten a new dog.
Oh, no, wait. There's a story. So you know the dog that sounds like a woman screaming.
Yes.
That I've spent years screaming, Ozzie, no! Shut up!
You probably shouldn't have said the dog's name.
Oops.
I don't know. I don't know that...
Okay, yes.
People are going to drive around yelling for a dog that answers to that name.
Yes. I don't know. The name of it may be in some teeny bopper magazines or something.
Okay, never mind. But anyway, the point is... he's actually very nice, and I've tried, we all have neighbor things. He's very nice, and so I've been over there 10, 15 times to nicely say, might there be, since I go to bed at...
At stupid o'clock.
And get up at...
The ass of morning.
Yes, is there any chance at all that you could train your dog not to bark constantly? It gets a little better than worse and whenever. So you can confirm this. You came over the other day, and guess what?
That dog. There's a new dog.
He has two more dogs.
Oh, two dogs.
Two more dogs.
But they're like really low.
And now the first dog has trained the second dog.
The two.
So it sounds like two giant dogs eating a woman.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, dear. What?
He's
to
so
death,
the dog that barks nonstop has trained the two new dogs.
Jeez.
Okay, but here's what the story magically comes full circle. Because I am a dog lover, I do also try to. So now I'm training the dogs because he's never there. He's, I don't know, somewhere on the road, probably doing whatever. So I sometimes come and pet them and pay attention to them because no one's there ever to pay attention to
them.
Out
in the back streets of America.
Give them treats.
In sync with the modern music tempo.
Yes, I try to train them not to bark and pet them and whatever. First of all, one of them is a Great Pyrenees, just like mine. And the other's a Great Dane. I'm like, how curious.
A Great Dane?
Yes, and so I finally was petting them yesterday, trying to soothe them, trying to hypnotize and soothe them to give me a moment's peace in my life. And I look at their collars, and they got them at the same rescue I got mine.
Wow.
And as it turns out, he used me as a reference.
Oh.
Because he speaks so very fondly of me. You got two more dogs because you said I recommended.
You have become the instrument of your own destruction.
Right. So the good news is two more dogs have been rescued, which is one of the causes of my life. And the bad news is they're next door to me now.
Invest in earplugs.
We're trying to resolve the
and
situation.
And now know how the people in Central Park felt when they saw you or I or both of us barreling down on them with these two giant polar bear dogs.
With the, as you called it, the Iditarod.
Yeah, right.
In Central Park. Like, walking Max and Fred.
Let's take it for a little drag through the park. No. Put that lady down. Put her down. She's elderly. You can't shake her like that. No, put it down. Leave the horse alone. It's not another dog.
You know how this
no,
is going to
resolve? No, it doesn't like you.
I actually talked to the rescue, and so I've even said, because I'm a dog lover, I'm like, look, can I take them for walks, or how about over here for play dates, or whatever? So now I'm going to have, Chris, 17 dogs in my yard, including Boy Band's dog that I'm going to need to train and pick up Great Dane poo, in addition to my own giant dog poo.
Well, the nice thing about it is that you can't miss it.
No, it's
you
hard to miss.
You can bump into it. Talk about walking into a rake. Seriously.
All right.
I got two words for you when I see the amount of waste that comes out of your dogs. Biofuel. I don't know how we harness but we have to.
We can run the planet. All right. House Sparks, I have no idea which celebrities you sexed with, but I can only imagine.
I beg your pardon.
Colin Farrell and Rihanna are sexting buddies, according to a delisted. I don't. Do you think he texts and he sexts in brogue?
Yeah, he has a.
Do you think you can almost hear the little Irish music coming out of yourself?
or if he uses a lot of Irish kind of things.
Does he say things about his shillelagh? I don't know.
Let me know if you want to come over the fence and we'll river dance for a while.
Yeah.
I'd like to river dance.
But
you'd
like to play the Yolin pipes.
Right.
I think that would be wiser than this. Chris Brown wants a judge to ease a restraining order barring him from being near ex-girlfriend Rihanna. Rihanna's attorney says his client supports removing the stay-away provision. Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
But she can always fight him off with her umbrella.
Well, here's what I would love to see. I would really love to see this. Is that if she gets together with her new sexting beau, and Chris Brown drops by, because Colin will drop him like a wet paper bag.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be great. That would actually be great to see. That as celebrity fights go, Colin, the Irish punter, giving him the old Glasgow handshake. Headbutt, groin.
Hey, speaking of boxers for people who play them, Sly Stallone. Yes. He's an artist, you know. His first exhibition of paintings has opened at a gallery in San Moritz. He was overheard saying he believes himself to be a better painter than actor. I don't know what that's saying exactly.
Okay.
Why do I get the feeling that he just heaves a bunch of paint?
Because you believe he is his characters. The guy wrote Rocky. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah,
and he's very talented, too. And the last Rocky was awesome.
He really doesn't talk like that anymore.
No, he doesn't.
He's got
Yeah. Thing with his lip, you know.
I just pictured it as looking like one of those paint spinners. Just a big, like,
Sylvester Stallone was in Bananas. Yeah. With Woody Allen. He had a non-speaking role.
All right. That just ended in a barrage of non-sequiturs that Hump Days with Hal.
Speaking of non-sequiturs.
Yes.
HalSparks.com is the website. Yep. Stephanie Miller is ours, StephanieMiller.com.
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky next week. Yay! Stand up, but I will be here for Hump Days,
okay.
So I'll leave
out. Fabulous.
Yes.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.